Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Andy. I'm actually up in Orem right now. This is weird. We're kind of doing a reverse thing. Sometimes I'll have a guest on the phone, and I'll be in the studio. But today, we have Lisa Sandberg in the studio. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Andy. How are you?
And good. Let's make sure. I don't think we have
Sorry,
the right
say
mic
that
on.
Again, Lisa. Ah. You're good now.
Hey, Andy. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining. Yes, it's kind of reversed. So now I'm on the phone and you're in studio. Stockton's there too. Thank you, Stockton, for helping us out today there in studio. As we wanted to get Lisa on. Lisa, so we could talk a little bit about what a caucus is in trying to get people involved in the political process. Now, Lisa, you're a political person. That's good. But some people look at that and they go, oh, that's a political person. And it's almost an insult. And so I thought maybe, first of all, we could maybe talk about that and why everyone should be, quote unquote, a political person. Lisa, what got you interested and why is it so important?
Well, way back when, if we want to go way back, when I was a junior in high school, the summer before I was a senior, I was selected by the American Legion to go to Girls State. And
ooh, wow.
I didn't even know what I was applying for when I did it. But I went and we went to SUU and we were all put in cities and we went through the whole political process of what it means to be a good citizen and how to be involved in being a citizen. And I loved it. I met great friends. Some I still have today that we are still in touch, but through that process, we learned about precincts, we learned about delegates, we learned about conventions, we even elected a governor for our state who went to a national Girls State Convention. Anyway, it was awesome, and I really loved it, but it didn't really stick. I didn't really get the real life implementation of it until my son, I think my son was about five. So I've been married probably six and a half years. And my husband and I were invited to go to a caucus. And we went to caucus and I didn't really want to do anything, get involved in the political part of it. But I was signed up to be an election worker. And so I started working elections, and I love that. And my husband was a precinct chair and a delegate, and he got really involved. And then I got involved in PTA, and I learned the importance of advocating for kids and what legislation does for that and how to be involved politically that way. So I started becoming more involved that way. And then, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I was asked to be the secretary of the Washington County Republican Women's Club. And that really turned everything for me. Then I got to see the whole process and went to my caucus and was elected to be a delegate. And then I got involved and realized how wonderful caucus is and how unique it is to our state. Not very many states do caucus. And even those who do caucus don't do it the way we do it. So number one reason for me to be involved is because I have an influence. You know, I have the ability to talk to our legislators or our city council or county commissioners. They're all on speed dial on my phone. And like over the weekend, we were having an issue with a bill that's coming up this next week. And we were talking about it. And I was talking directly to them. Why do you like this bill? Why do you not like this bill? And where are we headed with it? And if we really want to know what's going on and be involved, that's the only way we do it. A lot of people I know are really put off by politics and the vitriol and rhetoric that goes on behind it. But for me, mm-hmm. I love being involved locally. I don't really, you know, national is going to be what it is. But for me, I really like being able to participate here locally in our city, in our county, and in our state, and help to form what goes on here.
Do you feel like that people have that interest is waning in politics? in recent years, or is it as strong as ever? Just from your perspective, is it something that's losing momentum? And you know, because it's really a part of our country and who we are as a country.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that it's waning in some areas and very strong in other areas. So if we look at people who are very conservative, they're very involved and have been for years and years and years. And I don't see them ever quitting. And it's great because they give us a great reason to be involved and encourage us and help us to be involved. But like among the young people, the 18 to 40 years old, we have a lot of work there to get people more involved. It does concern me that our young adults aren't involved. And I remember as a young adult, I mean, I've got kids and whatnot, and you can't do everything. For me, PTA where I got involved and where I felt like I could make a difference. But now, as someone who's been involved politically for a while, I wish I would have been more involved. I wish I would have been there to help with what was going on and who was getting elected back then. Because that makes a difference in my kids' lives as well. So if you're a young person out there, I encourage you, don't wait. Don't think that you can't be involved when you have children at home. It's really important that you are involved because legislation affects you and them every day.
So as that part of that age group, I am 27. I actually didn't hop into the political world until I got this job about 9 months ago. And so I've had to learn a lot really quickly. And so I got to ask you, two people in my age group, what do you think is the best first step in order to become acquainted with the political world?
Well, first, register to vote.
Right, of course.
We have lots in your group that aren't registered. And I think that the other thing is to go and look at platforms and decide which party you want to be involved with. Because we can't say independent because there is an independent American Party. So as an unaffiliated voter, you really don't have any influence. If you're not involved with a party, you're going to struggle to get anybody to listen to you. So I'd encourage you to read platforms, decide which party you, and there's lots of parties to choose from. So decide which one you most identify with or where you can make the most influence. And then in Utah, go to caucus. Every party has a caucus. So go to caucus and get involved and become a delegate. I think that's a great way to start and be involved.
There is some meetings tonight in preparation for the caucus. The caucus is a week from tomorrow night, on March 5th, to be exact. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes, Lisa. But I did want to ask you kind of about the national political landscape. And I know local is most important, but I almost feel like that there's a bitter taste in people's mouths because of what's going on nationally right now. In fact, you hear there was some poll out to like 83% of people don't want Biden-Trump as their two you know, candidates.
Yeah.
And so there's a feeling of helplessness about it, I think, for a lot of people because, well, it's going to be Biden-Trump.
Well, and that's why I say it doesn't do any good to be an unaffiliated voter because you don't get a say in that. If you're an affiliated voter, you get a say. Like for us, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit more extensively, but at caucus, we will be holding our presidential preference poll. And who gets elected or who gets voted for, it's not elected, nominated for in Utah, that is crucial in what happens at the national convention. And that's the same for the Democrats as well. It's super important to be involved. And if you don't like the candidates that are being chosen, then you got to affiliate and go help make those choices. And we are. There's no way it's not going to be Biden and Trump this year. I mean, well, short of death or prison, and I'm not suggesting that, but
you're only saying a possibility.
Yeah, the only way that it's not going to happen is if one of them drops out, which I don't see either one of them.
One of them
out.
Is croaked or locked up.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be them. So now we have a choice to make. It's not good to sit home and do nothing if you don't like the choices. You got to choose which one you like better and go vote for them.
I think now's a good time, maybe, Lisa, to do a little caucus 101 for us. You talked about caucus, how not a lot of states do it anymore, and nobody does it like Utah does it. Will you explain what caucus is,
yes,
what it means, and how we should be involved?
Yes, thank you. This is, I'm so passionate about caucus. 3 years ago when I ran for Washington County Republican Party chair, this was my whole theme, come caucus with us. And so caucus, it happens once every 2 years. And the parties, each party holds their caucuses, and at those caucuses, precinct leadership is elected, and then county and state delegates are elected. I'm not sure, I don't know what the agenda of the other caucuses, the other parties' caucuses are, but our agenda is pretty simple. We come in, we have a prayer and a pledge, and we read our platform, and then we elect our leaders. And so it doesn't have to, it's not a super long meeting. I mean, I would set aside a couple hours just to be sure that all the business gets taken care of. And then from there, so let me back up and talk about the difference between caucus states and primary states. So in a caucus state, delegates are chosen to go and make decisions on behalf of their precincts at nominating conventions. So then candidates are vetted by those delegates, and they are, like, it's an intense vetting process. When we were doing our training last week for our caucus hosts, we just said, when your precinct is vetting their nominees for delegate, they need to ask them good questions like, are you going to take the next 2 weeks to vet every candidate that's going to be at the convention? And so it's an intense vetting process for a short period of time, 2 weeks for county, about 6 weeks for state. Once they've vetted and they, hopefully they're reporting back to their precincts and being accountable to their precincts for who they're going to vote for, then they go to convention and they make those votes and the nominations come out. And when the convention is over with, we have one or two candidates who come out of convention. That if we have two, then it goes to a primary. If we have one, it may or may not go to a primary, depending on if candidates have used the signature gathering method to get on the ballot in addition to coming to convention. So it's a great, go ahead. It's grassroots at its finest. And, the thing that I always want to remind everybody is we live in a republic. A lot of people say we live in a democratic republic. Well, democratic democracy is not even mentioned in the Constitution. We live in a republic. And in this republic, we believe in and are set up as a representative government. We elect people to go make decisions on our behalf. Period. That's how it is. We don't vote for every single thing that happens in our country. We vote for those who will go make decisions for us. And that's exactly what happens at caucus. We vote for delegates who will go represent us and make decisions for us at convention.
Now, you have some meetings tonight. These are not the caucus meetings tonight,
correct,
but tell us what these meetings are for.
So these are tonight and Wednesday night. So tonight in Hurricane at 6:30, we will be hosting an informational meeting. These are for people who want to go to caucus but want to have some knowledge about caucus before they go, so they can understand what they're even going to and why. This is, now I've noticed at the list of people who have signed up, there are some who have been going to caucus for years who have signed up, and then there are some people who have moved here recently who don't even know what caucus is. They've moved from a primary state and they've never even heard the word caucus, let alone know what it is. So tonight we will review what happens at caucus, how they can be involved. If they wanted to get elected to be a delegate, how do they do that? And just how the process works here in Utah in electing our public servants. So that's tonight. Yeah, tonight at 6:30 in Hurricane at the Hurricane Library. And then Wednesday night at 6:30 at the Wednesday night at 6:30 at the Washington City Library.
Yeah, right there, 300 East, right by the Hurricane or Washington. See, I did it too. Right by the Washington Elementary.
Yes,
yeah, and
yeah, the Washington Community Center.
Now, tell us about precincts. You talk about electing, yes, you know, representatives from each precinct. What is a precinct? That's a geographical thing, I guess. And what, like, how would I find out what precinct I'm in?
Oh, great question. So precincts are determined by our county clerk's office. they have rules that they have to go by to make up precincts, but it is a geographical area. It is made up. They try to keep a precinct no larger than 1,200 voters, and that includes all voters, not just in a particular party. So some precincts are small, depending upon their geographic size and whether or not there's going to be growth in that area. So they might create a precinct that's only got 500 voters, knowing that there's 500 more homes coming into that precinct boundary. Our clerk's office has done a fantastic job at putting together our precincts. They have a lot of stipulations that they have to follow in order to do it. For instance, precinct boundaries have to match House and Senate boundaries. So you can't have a precinct that half of them are in a House district boundary and the other half are in another House district boundary. And same with the Senate boundaries. And so they have to look at every boundary line and make sure that everything fits correctly. So within a precinct, you can look on your voter registration card, or you can go to vote.utah.gov and just put in your information, and it'll tell you which precinct you're in. And once you know your precinct, then you can just go to, if for us and for the Democrats as well, you can go to the website and to our respective websites and look up your location of where your caucus is being held.
I found this website. Tell me if it's a good one. Precinctportal.org?
That is a great one. That was created by a gentleman in Utah County, and our state party uses that website as well.
So you can just type in. It was pretty cool. I just typed in my address,
yep,
my street address in the city I lived in, and boom, there's a picture of my precinct. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yes. And for Washington County, we have given them all of our information as far as who's going to be hosting the caucus, where it's at. I think it even has a phone number of the precinct chair. And then it also shows all of your, all of the people that are candidates that delegates would be voting for.
My caucus, for instance, or my precinct will be meeting at Sandstone Elementary a week from tomorrow. Check in at 6, meeting at 7. And then, like you said, it has a really cool list. And by the way, Roland Hunter is my precinct.
Roland, he has been.
I know Roland really well.
Yes, he's a great party person for many, many years. He's been it long before me. And yeah, he and Rinda are fantastic people.
And then, like you said, if you, on the site, then it lists all the candidates for all the different offices that they're running for, including president.
Yeah.
And then one of them that really fascinates me right now is the U.S. Congress II, Celeste Malloy and Colby Jenkins. I wanted to ask you, we still got 2 or 3 minutes before we go to a weather break, about the signature gathering process.
Yes.
When did that come about? Why did that come about? And I know most people like you don't really like it very much, right?
No. I wish I knew the exact year. I don't. It's been 10 to 15 years. Okay. Senate Bill SB 54, Senate Bill 54 was passed that created the signature gathering path. And prior to that, you could only get on a primary ballot if you went through convention and you received, and the top person didn't receive the threshold to be the only person. Here in Washington County, so just as a side note, here in Washington County, because we don't like signature gathering and we want the process to go through convention and we want people to trust and believe in convention, we raised our threshold. So you have to get 70% at convention in order to be the only person going, to be the party's nominee. if someone gets 31% and the next person gets 69%, both of those people will go out to the primary ballot. In so doing, I'm almost pretty sure that we have no signature gathering happening in Washington County right now. Actually, I take that back. I do know of one person who is collecting signatures. But that was our whole purpose, is if we can make convention more enticing, then they won't feel like they have to circumvent convention to get on the ballot. We also made our delegate votes transparent. So on our website, you can go and look and see exactly how your delegate voted. And if they didn't vote the way that your precinct wanted them to vote, then you can get rid of them next time, meaning you can vote them out. So back to the signature gathering. Right before SB 54 was passed, not right before, a couple years before, the Tea Party had emerged, and they were very strong in their convictions to oust some people that they didn't feel like were conservative. And one of those people was Senator Bob Bennett. And they went to caucus and they made sure that conservative delegates were elected, people that adhered to their ideology. Now, some people are going to argue with me about this and might be upset that I'm telling this story, but this is how I see it, and I think this is really how it happened. Anyway, so these Tea Party delegates went to convention, and Bob Bennett was ousted at convention. Mm-hmm. And at that convention, Mike Lee and Tim Bridgewater were... neither one of them got the threshold. So they both went to a primary, and Mike Lee ended up winning the primary and then went on to win the general election as Senate. So when Orrin Hatch, he was up for election 2 years later, and he saw what happened to Bob, and he ran an incredible grassroots campaign to try to make sure that he got delegates who would vote for him at convention. And they did, and he won, but now created the fear that people couldn't win convention anymore. And so big money and candidates like Bob Bennett, who had been ousted, and others who were fearful that they couldn't get through a convention again, started the Count My Vote initiative, and they created the signature gathering route. And they were actually, from what I understand, they were actually wanting to just go straight primary. And our legislators made a compromise because they were going to have it go on the ballot. They were doing it as an initiative so they could get it on the ballot so people would be able to vote for whether or not they wanted a primary or a caucus convention. And the legislators made a compromise with them to make signature gathering a method and keep caucus convention, and they withdrew their initiative. So now we have it, and we have less participation in caucus than we've ever had. So that makes me really sad, because if people would come to caucus, I think there would be a lot more confidence in caucus. But when you only have 5 or 6% who come to caucus, then we end up with people saying, well, you know, that's only 5 or 6. That doesn't really represent me. 5 or 6%. That doesn't really represent me. Candidates are saying, you're not getting very good attendance. The only people are coming are the really ultra conservatives who don't want me, so they won't vote for me. And so it's just a vicious battle now. So my goal is to get 25% to caucus. that's about what we get in primaries. And so I'm like, if we can get 25% and show the legislature that caucus is relevant and that they don't need to fear caucus, that they can get through a convention and you know, woo the delegates. The other thing that I'm really working on is just helping delegates understand that they should not be coming to caucus already with their, already in, I've lost the word, decided who they're going to vote for. Because when you're a delegate, you should be vetting all candidates. You should be going and talking to all of them and representing your precinct. You shouldn't be coming to caucus representing a candidate. And that has become the norm. that's really become the norm ever since that ever since the Bob Bennett issue happened, when the Tea Party took over and they made sure delegates were there to support Tea Party and not necessarily represent their precinct. People will argue with me, but I'm pretty sure if Bob Bennett would have gotten out of convention and into a primary, he would have won, which is why the frustration with, did these delegates really represent their precinct or not? And because if the precincts would have voted for him on their own, did they really represent him? And now we've been blessed. Mike Lee's a great senator, and that's turned out great for us. But it left a lot of division in our party because of it.
Well, and we saw, you know, like with Celeste Malloy, where she was the caucus candidate.
Yep.
And then you had these other people that didn't even seemingly try at caucus and just went, our convention just said, we're just going to get signatures. We're not even going to try. And it's kind of messed up the whole process.
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, and it made me really sad in that process, because people who had been avid caucus convention supporters turned on caucus convention and ended up supporting signature gatherers. And yeah, I was like, terrible. Wait, what the heck's happening here? We believe in caucus. And if I'm really honest, I love Celeste and she's doing a great job, but she wasn't my first choice. And my choice got bumped out. And ultimately, I did end up voting for her, but it wasn't till the very last vote. And like I said, I think she's done a great job. But when she won, I knew my job as the chair of the party was to now get our convention candidate across the finish line. And so we worked tirelessly as a party throughout the whole state, throughout her whole district, to get her elected.
And you did.
And we did. And I think that was a great, and I'm really excited about that, because I think that showed legislators as well that the party is relevant and that we can get our party candidate across the finish line. So it is important to come to convention and try to win convention so that the party is behind you and backs you fully.
All right, Lisa, I got to get a little commercial break in here and check a weather. More with Lisa. We're going to talk a little bit about candidates. She can't really say her opinion completely, but we can at least talk about them when we come back here on KDXT.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. I am not in studio today. I'm actually up in Orem, Utah, getting ready for the 4A State Basketball Tournament. And by the way, you can catch actually a bunch of games today, starting with the boys' quarterfinal game between Snow Canyon and Dixie. That'll be at 12:50 this afternoon on ESPN Radio. That's 97.7 FM. Andy Thompson and me, Andy Griffin, will be together. A pair of Andys for you. Hopefully that's a winning hand. Again, 12:50. And then a bunch of girls' games. Well, I think Cedars first, so we won't have the Cedar game on ESPN. But then you've got Desert Hills, Dixie, and Snow Canyon with Olivia, the incredible Olivia Hamlin, leading the way for the number two-seeded Warriors. So there we go. We got high school basketball playoffs for you. Right here, I've got Lisa Sandberg on with me. She is the chair of the Washington County Republican Party. And Lisa, thanks again for coming. Appreciate you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate you letting me come and talk about caucus, one of my passions.
We were talking a little bit about signatures before we went to commercial break, and the fact that it seems like some candidates are not only are they not getting, you know, winning caucus, but they almost don't even try anymore with caucus. They just say, I'm just going to get my signatures and circumvent the process. And that's got to be frustrating for someone like you who really believes in caucus and really for the entire leadership in the state of Utah and the effort that's been put into caucuses over the years.
Definitely. Most don't completely circumvent the convention. They'll still go through convention, hoping that they at least have a presence at convention. But there are some. I did notice, I don't remember names, somewhere, maybe a governor, I can't remember. There was a couple of candidates who only checked signature gathering on their filing forms, and I was like, wow. Okay, because it's not cheap to gather signatures. For those who pay for it, it's like you know, $10 a signature. And so it's not cheap. But there are people who have gathered signatures who do it just with their own volunteers, and that takes a lot of time. So I do appreciate it when we say people, it's not an easy system. And people with money, it's easy for them. They just pay a signature gatherer to go do it. But people without a lot of money, it's not easy. So convention is still the easier path for them. So in the county, it's not so, we're not hindered by it so much. But in the state races, the federal races, definitely lots of them collect signatures.
Are a lot of candidates using the signature program as an insurance policy? Like they'll already start gathering the signatures, and then if they happen to win caucus, then they don't need them. But if they happen to not win, then that's kind of their backup plan. Are you seeing that a lot?
Oh, absolutely. That's the only reason to gather signatures, is for that insurance policy. So if you don't make it through convention, you still get on the ballot. So, yes, I think signature gathering, though, I think the deadline is next Saturday. So we'll see how many have gathered. I think you have to have your signatures gathered 2 weeks before the party's convention. So for us, that would be, sorry, not next Saturday, a week from Saturday would be ours. So we'll see who's got them gathered then at that point. We only have a couple who check the box that they would gather signatures, and as far as I know, there's only one out doing it. And whether or not that person gets enough, I don't know. We'll see.
Of course, we have the presidential race. One of the races that is turning out to be a little bit intriguing is the race for governor. Now, you have an incumbent, Spencer Cox, who, you know, incumbents win something like, I don't know, some insane, like 80% of the time or something like that. But there's a certain faction inside the Republican Party that is not happy with some of the decisions that Spencer Cox has made. I'm just curious, do you see that being any kind of race at all with Phil Lyman and some of the other guys that are challenging Governor Cox?
I think it'll be a race at convention. It'll be interesting to see how those votes turn out at convention. I'm still a little bit... I don't see a clear winner yet at convention, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. As I listen to people talking and whatnot, I don't know if we've got a clear winner for convention yet. Primary-wise, that'll be interesting as well. If the party gets behind, I mean, we know that, like with Celeste, the party got behind her and got her across against major money and signature gatherers. So if the party gets behind its convention winner, we could have, I mean, it could be someone who wasn't expected. I don't know. We'll see.
We will certainly see. Just on a side note, Spencer Cox, when he was running for governor, was on my show like once a week. He was calling in all the time on my show. And one of the things I asked Governor Cox, he wasn't governor at the time, but I said, you know, there's an old saying in radio that candidates want to be on your show, but when they win, they disappear. And I said, you're not going to do that, are you, Spencer? And he said, oh, no, I'm going to be on your show all the time. Well, he's been on twice in, what, now, two and a half years, 3 years, whatever. So,
oh, that's too bad. I'm sad to hear that, because I think it's important. The radio, especially talk radio, is a great place for elected officials to get their message out. I know Celeste uses it quite a bit. You and I can't remember another guy, Brian, I think somebody from up north, I'm assuming.
Brian Hyde or
maybe.
I don't know.
I'm not going to say. I just know that she tells me that, because I've told her, you need to get your word out. You know, you need to get your message out about what you're doing and why you're voting a certain way and whatnot. And she has told me that she comes on your show quite a bit, that she goes on this other show quite a bit. So I think it's important. I wish that our elected officials would do that more often.
She does go on our sister station, KSUB, in Cedar City with Tim. Yeah. Is that who you're thinking of?
That might be who it is, yeah. Yeah, which makes me happy, because I think that our elected officials ought to be reporting to us.
Agreed. And, you know, and that's an interesting race coming up between Celeste and Colby in the Republican Party. Colby Jenkins, I'm referring to. And it's weird, because I look at that one, Lisa, as two great candidates too. Both of them would be fantastic, but they have different specialties.
Yeah, they do.
It's almost like an apples and oranges kind of a thing.
Well, and we don't want to forget that there's a third candidate as well.
Right, Ty Jensen.
Yeah. So, yes, this is going to be an interesting race. I'm excited to see how the delegates, what they do in convention. I know Celeste is not collecting signatures. Colby marked that he was going to collect signatures. I don't know if he is or not. Ty, I don't remember if his said he's collecting or not. I don't think Ty is collecting signatures either. So it'll be interesting to see how much the convention feels, how they feel about signature gathering, and if that makes a difference on who they vote for. In the past, it's made a big difference, but over the years, I'm seeing that people are starting to not worry so much about if someone collects signatures. You know, Mike Lee collects signatures, so everybody can use him as an excuse for why they do it. If Mike Lee does it, I should do it. So it's, you know, it's become less relevant.
Another interesting race because of the number of candidates filing as Republican candidates is U.S. Senate 1.
Yes.
Led by, you've got John Curtis, you've got Brent Hatch, who is Orrin Hatch's son, you've got Carolyn Phippen, who's been on the show, Trent Staggs, who's been on the show, Brad Wilson. You have a whole, I'm counting, what is it, that, like 10 candidates or something?
Yeah, I think there's 11 total.
11.
And we do have some great candidates in there. I'm not worried about the Senate. I think whoever gets elected is going to be good. You know, I have my favorites, but I can't say who that is yet. But but I really do think that we're in good hands. If any of those that you just named off win, we'll be fine.
All right, let's take another commercial break. When we come back, we will, again, get a reminder about caucus, the preparatory meetings, informative meetings tonight, and then, of course, caucus. Where to go and what to do, that is a week from Tuesday. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, welcome back. There it is. I was waiting for my music. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you for joining us live on the Andy Griffin Show today. Lisa Sandberg, the Washington County Republican Party chair, is with us today. Lisa, meeting tonight and Wednesday night. Tell us again about those and what they're all about.
Yes, thank you. That was one of my major things I was hoping we could make sure everybody knew about. So we're doing a informational meeting for people who are going to attend caucus tonight at 6:30 at the Hurricane Library and Wednesday night at 6:30 at the Washington City Library. This meeting will help people who maybe have never attended caucus or new to the caucus system in Utah of what to expect at caucus, how to be involved, how to be elected as a delegate if they want to be elected, and what caucus means. Why do we have caucus in Utah, and how does it differ from primary states? So it'll be a great meeting for those who are new to the system. And we even have some people who've signed up coming that have been to many caucuses who just want a refresher. So come and join us and let us help you get involved.
6:30 tonight, Hurricane City. And 6:30 Wednesday night, Washington City at the library. And by the way, really cool tool, precinctportal.org. If you're not sure what portal, what precinct you're in, just go in and you type in your address and what city you live in, and boom, it tells you when your caucus is and tells you who your caucus leader is and or host. And it's a really cool tool.
So, Andy, during the break, I decided to give it a try myself, and it was actually extremely easy. And I actually found out the person who leads my caucus is actually one of my former home teachers in my ward. So I was like, oh, well, there you go. So, no, it's very easy.
Yes, shout out to Dave Houston. He and his wife Judy are awesome. They're on our leadership team as well. And so I was excited to make that connection when Stockton looked up his precinct.
Yeah, very, very cool. One more time, maybe, Lisa, explain caucus in a nutshell for those who maybe aren't from Utah or maybe just don't understand the political process of what caucus means in this state.
Yeah, great. So we live in a republic, which means representative government at its simplest definition. And caucus is representation at the most local form. So caucus, your precinct is your is where is the group that attends your caucus. So your precinct in your party attends your caucus, and there we elect precinct leadership and we elect delegates who, again, go to convention and represent you, make decisions on your behalf for who to nominate as our candidates in the party.
Very cool. And really your opportunity to get involved. Now, popular vote doesn't matter in the United States of America, and maybe sometimes as you're looking on election night, you're going, "Hey, that guy got more popular votes." Well, that's not how this works, is it, Lisa?
Yeah, that's the same exact thing. I mean, that's representative government, and we have an electoral college, and I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to talk about for 1 minute the presidential preference poll. For the Republican Party, our presidential preference poll will take place at caucus. Other parties are holding a primary, so those voters will get a ballot in the mail. They'll either turn that ballot in or they will go on election day, which is March 5th, to the Dixie Center or wherever the polling locations are, and vote in person if they want, or they can send their ballot back in. Republicans will not be receiving a ballot in the mail, so they will need to come to caucus to vote. And the reason why it is so important that you come and vote for president is National Convention is where our nominee is elected. And our national delegates, who are elected by our state delegates at state convention, those national delegates go to the National Convention and they vote for who's going to be our presidential nominee. And they are bound by our bylaws. They have to vote who the popular vote was, as you called it, who won at caucus. So if candidate A gets 50% plus one, all of our votes from our national delegates go to that candidate in the first round of the national convention. So it's super important that we come and vote for president.
Absolutely. Down to 2 minutes, Lisa, and I have yet to get a pickleball update from you. Now, folks that don't know, Lisa Sandberg is a pickleball shark. I actually haven't played her yet, but I hear you're quite good. I see your picture on top of podiums all the time. That means you must be pretty decent.
I do like competing. No, pickleball is great. My only complaint was last time I was on your show is with Buck Sexton, and we had set up that we were going to go play a pickleball game. Well, we talked about it, but it didn't work out that we could play. And when he said he couldn't play, I just kind of teased him a bit and said, "Oh, that's because you don't want to get beat by an old lady." So anyway, and by the way, he was fantastic at our Lincoln Day dinner. We loved having him here. But yeah, pickleball's alive and well, and it's getting spring, so lots more outdoor play, so it's wonderful.
As far as Buck is concerned, now he's a tennis guy. He's never played pickleball in his life, but because he is a very good tennis player, I think that it would translate pretty well. I will say this. I used to play, we played pickleball, my wife and I, with a girl who was on the Japanese national tennis team. And we played pickleball. She was good right away, but there are some intricacies with pickleball that don't necessarily apply to tennis players. So there is a little learning curve. Like I said, they're going to be good right away, but they're not going to be that good, right?
Absolutely. you got to learn to dink, and if you can't dink, you're not going to win this game. So you won't get very far if you don't learn that strategy. I was playing with a couple of guys the other day, and they were bamming. We call them bammers. They were, every hit is just hard. And if a good pickleball player will know how to reset those. And when you reset them and they can't bam it back, they get very frustrated. So, we know how to put bammers away.
I played with a bammer who would like to hit down the line every time. And once you know it's coming, volleying, dinking a down the line shot is actually a pretty easy volley.
Yep.
Anyway. Love pickleball. Lisa, again, thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate you and really informative. Again, those meetings, 6:30 tonight at Hurricane City Library and 6:30 Wednesday night at Washington City Library to learn more about caucuses if you'd like to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.